have everyone take their seats, we're going to go ahead and get started.
And call the meeting to order. We're really this is excited about the events of this afternoon, and with everything else she's had going on, preparing to come and speak to us, the Board of Regents is especially appreciated by President Watkins this afternoon. So we will we'll turn the time over to President Watkins for a report. We appreciate the hospitality, the good food, and everything your staff has done making preparations for our meetings today.
As you appropriately credited it, it does both the staff to make this work. I more or less just show up. So appropriate, recognize, and thank them.
So. Yes, just on cue. It's good. So I want to give you the headlines first, and the headlines for today are: critical indicators of success are rising and up at the University of Utah. So as we look through these slides, I wonder if there's a clicker. Do we have a clicker? No clicker. Oh, good. Thank you. Be watchful for that. I'm going to help you have a look at some. We talked about metrics this morning. We're going to look at a few. We will see student success crossing some critical milestones that we're really excited about. And a second, I think, indicator that I want to mention just to give you a highlight. Of course, we are a research university, and we're very proud of that. And we will see some indicators of research success and impact that are also up in a very stunning way. So those are the highlights before we start. So you might ask what I did with all my spare time over the summer. What I did over the summer is get on that bus, and or one that looked like it, because we had the first trip, we had an air conditioner failure on the bus. And we went to a variety of places around the state. The purpose: to get feedback about the University of Utah and what people need from us and what how we're doing, and also to be able to talk with a variety of stakeholders, alums, non-alums, industry, individuals, rural communities, urban areas, about how the U can be more effective and how the University of Utah can be a more effective partner and meet the needs of our state. This is the first trip. We went to Northern Utah on that first trip. We got to see our friends at USU and our friends at Weber on that trip. This group changed a little bit with every trip and got a little more motley, I think, with each pass along the road. But we learned a lot through this effort. That's us at Adobe. And one of the things that I believe was the second trip, and when we went to industries, and it didn't matter north, south, east, west, urban, rural, we heard a very consistent theme. And that theme was, we need more talent. We need more people with bachelor's degrees and master's degrees to fill the needs of our industries. That was a very consistent theme everywhere we went, certainly at Adobe and also at Procter & Gamble. And all points in between. And what I will tell you about that is it's more complicated than just numbers. And it's more complicated than STEM fields. Those things are true. More STEM, more everything, and more diversity. Very, very clear message from our industries saying there's an economic imperative here. We are creating products for people all over the world. We are selling products to people all over the world. If you are not helping us populate with people that have had different life experiences and know different languages and different cultures, we aren't going to be as effective as we could be. So that was pretty clear to us. We also saw a lot of people. There's Mary Parker, our Associate Vice President for Enrollment Management. And this was an impromptu photo at the Green River, right? And this group of people were, they're not with us, they were getting on those rafts. And we had a wonderful experience talking with them about the University of Utah, about college, about why it matters. These are people that were very interested in the U, Some of them siblings at the U, some of them siblings at other institutions around the table. Very interesting to talk with them about college, about what they're thinking about. And I will say that it was like 130 degrees standing there. So they were very patient to put up with that picture. So what else have I been doing over the summer vacation? We are a destination for people of great talent. We have successfully recruited three remarkable leaders to our institution. Two of them are here today. Dan Reed, our Senior Vice President for Academic Affairs. You can stand, Dan. Mike Good, our Senior Vice President for Health Sciences. We're very pleased that they have joined us. And Mark Harlan in the middle, our Athletic Director, who joined us from the University of South Florida. These are critical leaders for our institution and remarkable people of great accomplishments and records that want to be part of the future of the University of Utah. Now, these are four stunning undergraduates, and three of them are with us today. And I asked them if they would come, just introduce themselves briefly, and tell you, just give you a little sense of the student talent that we're attracting to this institution. These are people who come to us thinking about the problems they want to solve, what they see as urgent issues in society, and the difference they want to make. So I might ask my colleagues to step on up. It looks like Maddie might go first. She's ready. All right, Maddie, take it away.
Okay, so I came to the University of Utah.
I'll be your mic.
Thank you. I can hold it, sorry. Okay. I came to the University of Utah with the intent to study political science and economics. And in my first semester, I realized that I wanted to do something different. And that is, I transferred to chemical engineering because I'm really passionate about air quality, specifically along the Wasatch Front. I grew up here in Bountiful, just a couple minutes north of here. And there's a crisis right now in Bountiful with people who have asthma and specifically other respiratory problems related to the problems we have in Utah from the inversion and from the refineries. And in my undergraduate studies, I'm working towards being engaged with research to resolve that problem, as well as in my professional career, working to find solutions that are more long-term than we're currently utilizing in Utah.
You can pass to RT if you like.
Hi, my name is R.T. Williams. I'm also a second year chemical engineering student here at the U, and I'm from South Bend, Indiana. And what my issue is that I see that engineers are people who can either progress society forward or take it back. And as far as energy goes, we haven't necessarily done the best job. And so I want to be a part of those engineers who can help create more sustainable, more renewable energy and progress our world to a better place. And there are a multitude of reasons I chose Utah, coming from Indiana, and I am taking advantage of those opportunities right now. One is a research project where it's a thermal energy storage project, so we heat up materials and to see how much energy they can store through heat fusion. Another one is that I realize engineers aren't just mathematicians, they have to learn how everything works in the world. So I'm vice president for the Residence Hall Association, which is like student government for people who live on campus. Through that, I'm managing a board underneath me, I manage delegations to conferences, and also I'm managing a budget of around $100,000 that we are using to give opportunities back and create a home for those who live on campus. And lastly, I'm also in the Honors College, which I wanted to be a part of to challenge me to think challenge myself as far as it comes with philosophy and writing and different opportunities like that. So that's what I'm doing right now. Thanks.
Hello, my name is Roy Bambila. I'm a third year student here at the University of Utah. I am majoring in biology and anthropology, and I'm minoring in chemistry and Latin American studies. One issue that I'm really interested about working in is social inequality. And I know that's a very broad subject with a lot of layers, but here at the University of Utah, I've had a lot of experiences that have allowed me to address those issues, such as this year I'm co-president for Latinos in Action, and for that we really want to promote greater retention and just success of Latinx students here on campus, since we do have lower retention rates and things like that, and we just want to make sure that we're succeeding. Another thing I'm involved in is Project Youth through the Bennion Center. With this project, we bring over 1,000 students, sixth grade students from Title I schools in the area. We let them go around, tour the campus, get lunch, see what college lectures are like, and it really just encourages them to go to college. That's really special to me because a lot of the students are children of immigrants or first generation students. And in the future, I would like to go into healthcare. Specifically, I would want to work more in accessibility of healthcare. I would like to work in a free clinic as a physician, and just really try to fix or help fix issues with healthcare access.
I think it's a great thing that we have such remarkable talent. I'm so grateful that you all would be here today and also let us feature you and hear your stories. We appreciate you very much. Okay, bigger picture on students. So here's the big story of the day. Look at that. You couldn't make that up. That's a pretty good graph. We are celebrating on this campus, and really you're the first official place to hear this, that we are at the 70% six-year graduation milestone. You can tell this has been an incredible labor, and I will tell you that there are many people in this room who have helped make this happen. It is quite remarkable. I want to give credit to all the people that have driven this forward. I will tell you that has taken everyone in this institution, from the departmental secretary to the vice president for enrollment management to the president of the university. So everybody sees themselves in these data. At the end of the day, we frequently say access without completion is a very hollow promise. We have to help people complete the degree they came for. I think we've all worked very hard on that, and I know we are all continuing to work hard on that. How did we do this? What are some of the things that have mattered? Oh, a little bit more on data. Of course, these are degrees that our state tells us are in high demand. The U is working hard to graduate people in those fields through the completion finish line, and the same is true in the specific fields of STEM, so we're happy about that. In terms of how are we making this kind of stunning change happen, this is a brand new professor on our campus. Her name is Ming Hammond. She's in chemistry. She joined us from Indiana University in Bloomington. She is a remarkable scholar in theoretical chemistry, and she has been featured, I just happened upon this story, she's been featured in a wonderful effort called Humans of the U, which is a great thing to read on the website if you're ever interested in the people that make this university run. And Ming told a fabulous story about her own life and her commitment to our students. And her story was, I was a first generation student. I was a work study student. I didn't have a lot of roadmap and help for college, but what I did find when I went to college is a faculty member who cared about me, invested in me, had me work in their lab. I began to do research as an undergraduate, and that is what made the difference in my life. One thing I know is that part of moving those graduation rates up is finding those personal connections in this big university for our students, and to have that kind of experience to change their lives. This is Marty Bradley at work, and everybody around the institution that is helping us make those kind of high-impact practices happen. That's participation in research, deeply engaged learning experiences, study abroad, a whole menu of things, and it doesn't have to be the same for every student, but we want every single undergraduate at the University of Utah to have that exceptional experience where they're engaged in something to help them make their classroom learning make sense. I think that's helping us drive change. I also want to say we've talked a lot with you and in other contexts about the role of data analytics. The U is working with Civitas. We're relatively new to this process. The goal is to identify those predictors early and act on them so that we help more people be successful in the institution. And there's a range of predictors that matter, but the key variable is figuring out a system where you can act on it quickly and in a timely manner, so that when you see a student at risk, you're not waiting. You have an outreach program, and that outreach could be through a variety of networks. So what does an elephant have to do with this, right? That's a picture that's often used with the idea of nudges. One of the things we've started to do, and I guess here's another nudge, and I think this is from the UVU campus, right? It's a little nudge to try to say, to change behavior with a little gentle guidance. There it's, I guess the message is take the stairs, right? Burn off a calorie or two. When we think about student success, we're trying to reach out to people, with a little nudge that guides behavior, that gives them some information, that suggests to them, here's a source of help, early on. So our team is doing that. We've had a team of people called Student Success Advocates that are deployed around the campus, and they're using a variety of types of nudges, primarily emails, to reach out to students and give a little bit of gentle guidance. Not a negative signal, not something's wrong with you, but here's a place to go for help. College is difficult. Here are some resources. Have you thought about? And they get very interesting responses back, things like this. When a group of students got nudges, they will write back and say things like, I'm already struggling with calculus. Where do I find a tutor? Your email came at just the right time. I've been worried about. I'll make an appointment with. You can see the kind of high volume ways that people are responding to these bits of gentle guidance, not anything that says you're in trouble, you need help, you're at risk, because none of us respond very well to that. But a kind of nudge that says, here is a source of help, but it's coming early. It's September 21st, right? We're not waiting until late in the semester or even at the end when we see problems for students. I also want to talk a little bit about enrollment, and this is particularly Mary Parker is here with us today. She can jump in here. We've worked very hard on making sure that we're reaching talented students. And I think one indicator that you get, we've had a couple of years of pretty significant growth in our first year class. And we see that uptick nicely, which is a good thing, right? If you're graduating people more quickly, we have capacity to serve more first year students. But I think even better than more is that these are students whose academic preparation is rising. That is remarkable, both in GPA and in ACT scores, and our increase in students of color. Now, when you think about that together, that's more students, that's more academically prepared students, and that's more diverse students. That's a pretty good story about the University of Utah, so we're very pleased about that. Okay, I want to shift and talk just for a minute about research. This is an initiative really made possible by the Miller Family Foundation, and it's focused on diabetes and the very critical problem that diabetes presents in our society. At a symposium we had yesterday, I learned that 15% of people in America have diabetes, and it's a critical health issue. This is an effort that combines research and advancement of both therapeutics and prevention efforts in diabetes, but has just as vibrant a community outreach effort. You see the wellness bus, which is in communities in particular places every week to help people screen, find advice, and find prevention, and enroll in research if they're interested in participating in research. That kind of impact-oriented research is very powerful and very important for the University of Utah, and you can imagine this is a research initiative that requires one U approach. Because yes, there's basic science and medicine involved. There's a lot of human behavior involved, physical activity. This is the whole university engaged in this kind of effort. The metrics that we use to look at research and scholarship are also up in an incredible way. So those very practical, impactful examples, like the Wellness Bus initiative and driving out diabetes, it's paired with, this is a 1 year over year comparison in our faculty. Those are stunning changes in terms of the research our people are doing, the publications, the grants, and the citations, which tells you other people around the country and world are using that research and making use of it in their own work. We're very pleased about the uptick in scholarship because this is what we do. We are a research university. This is the other remarkable indicator for this year, that great achievement of a 70% six-year graduation rate is paired with achieving $515 million of external research funding. That is remarkable. We've been on a great upward trajectory this last year. It just really jumped. So it puts us in a different category of institution to have that kind of funding in support of our research. And as I say often, the money is not the goal. Research is expensive. Even with all that, we don't actually make any money on research, but it's what we do. It's our mission. And without that kind of funding, we can't do that work that has impact, like the Driving Out Diabetes Initiative. We need those funds to do the work that makes a difference for our communities. That funding has an impact on the economic development in our state. direct in jobs, indirect in a variety of other indicators, and in the taxes those people pay. So that $515 million, and of course this is a lagging indicator, so that's a few years behind, but this is employment for Utahns. This is tax dollars for Utah. Those $515 million of research funds make a difference in the work they do and indirectly in the health and vibrancy of our state in a pretty significant way. Just a tiny moment about facilities. This is the kind of the wrap up. We are, of course, celebrating some beautiful new spaces. So when you want to attract talented people and you want to bring talented students to your campus, they expect to have modern facilities that are technologically equipped. This is Gardner Commons. It's in the space formerly occupied by Osh, but it's pretty different. It's big, it's amazing, it has a vibrant visitor and welcome center for our prospective students. It has food service, it houses the Hinckley Institute of Politics, it houses the College of Social and Behavioral Science, and I know I'm forgetting other things. It is a remarkable force for our campus, and we're delighted to have it. One little thing about that building, it's our first campus building where we use geothermal, ground source heating and cooling, so there's also a window and exposed, so kind of picking up on RT's point about energy, we're trying to also use this as an educational opportunity to say Utah is a remarkable state for harnessing the power of the earth to power our buildings, to heat and cool, and we are doing that in this building and making an educational opportunity out of it. We have another brand new beautiful building that is going to be dedicated, I believe, October 5th, the Garf Executive Education Building, part of the David Eccles School of Business, allowing us to help keep and fuel Utah's vibrant industry by executives that are well prepared to serve. This is the MED project in its current rendering. The parts that are underway, the ACC, ambulatory care, which is additional hospital beds. The rehab hospital is getting started and it's due to be open, I believe, December 2019, maybe January 2020. And then the large medical transformation project, which Mike Good is leading, and really working with people on the programming side now in that area. So that's a building to come, and for which we are very grateful for your support and the support of our state to help us make that happen. And residence halls. We know that students who can live in a residence hall 1 year have a 12% higher graduation rate after we correct for all other factors. We also know that we have a waiting list for people. When you put those two things together, it's imperative for us to do this. This project is underway. Groundbreaking. Who remembers?
November. Right after the last soccer ball gets kicked.
All right. Right after the last soccer ball, whenever that may be. yes, because this is located up in that area, so we promise to have a good plan for soccer, but pretty important for our future as an institution. Some of you have had the chance to hear about the American Dream Ideas Challenge, and I wanted to mention this just because, of course, we are thinking about education and success of our students. Of course, we are thinking about research and our work in terms of scholarship and advancing knowledge and transferring that knowledge for practical use. We are also thinking about our role as a leader and facilitator and convener in the community. So one of the projects that we have been very pleased to receive funding for, we are one of four institutions in the country. Many competed, four were chosen. The four chosen are Arizona State, University of Utah, University of Wisconsin, and Ohio State. So all big public universities, all very good big public universities. And the supporter, the philanthropist that's making this happen is connected with Google, so it's Google-related support. And the aim is, part of the American story is a vibrant middle class. That middle class is threatened in the present. What we see is growing income divides and a shrinking middle class. That is happening in Utah. Our own policy institute has demonstrated the data for Utah, and that is a truth for us. The goal is to move the income of 10,000 Utah families by 10% by 2020. It was going great right up until that 2020 part. That's a short timeline to move incomes, either net income, either increased wages, decreased costs. But we have asked our community, we've put out an ideas challenge, we've received remarkable creative ideas, surprising, about 150 of them, to be exact, and those have been narrowed down to a smaller number that receive a small amount of funding. that get again reviewed and with the stakes of up to $1 million prize at the end to fund the good ideas that come through. So that is not a direct University of Utah benefit, but it is a benefit to our state and our community. And we got proposals from Dixie, for example. A good one, in fact. We got proposals about some of the counties that we visited this summer that have a long history of a coal-driven economy. So this is what this is supposed to do, and we're excited about being the facilitator. This is a pretty good place, and a lot of good things are happening. Thank you for being a part of it. Thank you for helping that progress along. And thank you for allowing me to work with you towards those aims. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much, President Watkins, and spectacular work you're doing, and all of your colleagues here. We're going to move along into the agenda. If you'll turn to tab P is the general consent calendar, and we welcome the motion to accept that unless there any unless there's any discussion. Is there any discussion? The motion by Regent Markford.
Second.
Regent Tyer. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is a discussion with respect to the College Access Advisors program that we've been communicating with you about. We are really excited about this new statewide initiative to have a full-time College Access Advisor in every Utah high school. It's an ambitious proposal. It's a transformative initiative that will, I think, probably make more difference in terms of access and affordable the perception that students can affordably complete a college education in this state, and anything that's happened since at least the time I've been on the Board of Regents. We'd be the first state in the nation with a college access advisor in every high school. That's a very big deal. It would revolutionize the ability of Utah high school students to access college, and would be I think the impact of this will be felt for a very, very long time. The proposal encompasses the great work of the working groups that we earlier had working through some of these issues, reflects the board's prioritization of access, affordability, and completion. And it's been reviewed by the Academic and Student Affairs Committee, as well as the Strategic Communications Committee. Current projected cost is just under $6 million, and it would be part of our overall budget priorities submitted to the legislature. I might note that the commissioner and I have met with at least some of the legislative leadership, and I think they're excited about it as well. And so with that, I'm going to invite the commissioner to say a few more words about this proposal.
And from, as he described, the work of the working groups, and even going back to the strategic plan of a few years ago. So I'm happy to, we'll get this on track. I'm happy to share a few details of this with you today, and then this will be an action item under tab D. Technical difficulties, okay. Let's use our, should we use our?
I can just click
Okay. Melanie's just going to help me. We'll do it kind of the old-fashioned way. Okay, so let's move forward. Well, maybe. All right, should we just, all right. So we know the power of college, and it was interesting to hear these students that President Watkins brought with her today. And we know that the data are very clear that to be successful in the world today, people need something beyond high school. And this is one way that it's shown, is that since the Great Recession, the jobs that have been created in America, almost all of them require something beyond high school. We also know that only 45% of Utah's high school seniors go immediately on to college. And too many of them feel like college is just not really an option for them, or they don't know how to start, or it seems a little too complicated, and they need some help. And so as we've done research on this, go ahead, we know that the worry about cost, whether they're ready, whether they'll be accepted, and this is something that as a board you've been grappling with for some time, and that they just feel like they can't attend college. Oh, all right, great. We recently did a statewide survey of students of parents of college students and college students, and nearly 9 out of 10 told us that college is more important than it was a decade ago. And yet, only half, 50%, felt that college in Utah is accessible to everyone. Now, we know in this room that that is not true, but that's the perception. That is a huge gap between the perceived need and desirability and the thinking that they really have the opportunity to do it. We also know from some research that only about half of these students, prospective students, prospective college students, know where to access information about grants and scholarships. So college access, as Chair Simmons said, has been a priority of this board for some time. And we know that there's various steps along the way in order to really access college, and the importance of cultivating a college-going culture. So the Utah College Advising Corps was started a little over 10 years ago, in 2007, actually from a grant that was jointly from the Board of Regents, received by the Board of Regents and the University of Utah. The University of Utah has been running this program very successfully since that time. It's currently in 12 high schools, mostly in the Wasatch Front, one in St. George, and it has proven very effective in increasing college access as well as completion. And so relying on their data, I'm going to share you the data that they have found. The students with a college access advisor, they enrolled at a rate 58%, which is 10% above the statewide average. And you can see how it's improved by the more meetings these students in high school have with a college access advisor, how the likelihood of going to college increases dramatically. Now, the thing that isn't as intuitive is that these students also have a higher graduation rate once they come to college. So they come a bit more prepared, a bit more ready, and they are able to be more successful. And this is particularly impactful for first-generation students. Now, there's more. That's how it sounds like an infomercial almost, right? But wait, there's more. Okay. More students going to college. More access for low-income and first-generation students, a more educated workforce, and a greater impact on Utah's economy. And as the chair said, this would be the first such statewide program in the nation. Now, I want to follow President Watkins' lead and invite three people to come and assist me. I think if you'll come up to the podium, Sarah, Franco, and Nomani, and give a little bit of their experience with this, as has been implemented recently. Come on up. We'll just have you use the podium, if that's all right.
Hello, y'all. So when I was in high school, I was served by UCAC Advisor, and it was honestly the most essential thing that got me up to the University of Utah. I come from a first-generation, middle, low-income family. I had no one who could bring me to college. My mom thought college only cost a couple grand per year to access college and to be on campus, and I had to explain to her that's not how it works. So no family resources were there for me to get me to college. The only resource I really had was my UKEG advisor. If she was busy, she would make time for me. She would take me to her office, talk to me about the scholarship opportunities that there were, what opportunities there were to get onto college campuses, and see what I needed to do to get to college. In fact, one of the field trips that I did take to get onto the University of Utah is a program that I'm involved with now, which is paying for my whole tuition and then some, allowing me to give access to other students who can come up to college and encourage them and inspire them that college is accessible if you're low income, if you're a minority, whatever background that you come from, college is something for you and that it's accessible. So,
Franco.
Hello everyone, my name is Franco Jin. I'm a third year studying biology, and I was also one of the students who greatly benefited from the UCAC program. A little bit about my background. I'm an immigrant. I arrived in the US when I was 12 years old, and my mom raised me as a single mother. So when we came, neither of us could really speak English. I was actually the one who kind of talked to her about taxes, which I think it's kind of funny because it's usually way the other way around. But when the college application process came around, I couldn't really rely on my mother as a resource because she didn't understand the process. She had never gone to college. So I was really lucky to have my advisor, Savannah, in my high school, because not only did she explain to me the timeline of when I should be applying, she also introduced me to very great scholarship opportunities. The scholarship that I received, I first received the knowledge about it from Savannah, and it's a Larry H. Miller Enrichment Scholarship, which is a full tuition, full housing, full fees scholarship, which I really do say completely changed my life. So since I arrived in college, after all this time that I've spent with Savannah, I've been involved with research at the Huntsman Cancer Institute, and we just published our first paper in a very good journal with my work in it, so I'm very happy about that. I was really honored to serve in the Presidential Ambassadors Program, and I'm currently applying to medical school, to schools like Columbia and the Mayo Clinic. And I really don't think, as much as I like to toot my own horn, I really don't think that I would have had these opportunities without the UCAC advisor. And I'm really grateful that the UCAC advisors are being considered for every high school in the state, because it, as the commissioner just said, it really does promote more college access, not to students who may already have those resources, but it has a focus on those students who may not have those resources yet.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks. Good afternoon, and I apologize. I just got a surgery on my deviated septum, so I sound pretty funny, I know. But I want to also thank Sandy, Nicole. I was hired as a UCAC advisor in 2011, and before the job I have currently, it was the best job I ever had. It was so awesome just to meet with students. I worked at Kurtz High School from 2011 to 2013, and got to put on ACT workshops, so pulled out old study skills to be able to teach these workshops, brought in experts to do workshops on financial aid, was able to put on a scholarship night for Kurds high school students and their families, and did a lot of cool things, met a lot of great students. Also, the community was so supportive. I was able to coach basketball, boys basketball at Kurds High School, teach night school. Because of the UCAC advisor, I felt really empowered to do whatever I wanted, meet with students, send them scholarships, and it was just an awesome experience. And through that, went on to do grad school. Now I work here at the University of Utah in a great environment and loved it. One of the most rewarding experiences for me was seeing a student who was undocumented at a Walmart that said, "Hey, Nomani, do you remember me?" And I couldn't remember their name, but I do remember the student. And they said I got a scholarship because of, I sent multiple scholarships to undocumented students wanting to see them in higher education, and that was just really rewarding. And seeing them on campus working in higher education was awesome. So thank you all. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to present to you today.
Thank you. Well, thank you all. That shows you a little bit of the power of this. And I also want to just recognize Dr. Sandy Pershing and Nicole Batt at the University of Utah. I've been running this program here for the last number of years and for their great success. Let's give them a hand. Now, part of the power of this is, and I know there was a slide that said this, I didn't mention it though, I wanted to come back to it a little bit, is that these college access advisors are near peer. So these are students who just recently graduated from a college, just with a bachelor's degree, and they make a 2 to 3 year commitment to work in the high schools. And they work very closely with the professional counselors at the high school and have a reporting line to them as well. But the power of this near peer is really important because the students can relate to them, they kind of speak their language, and it's been very, very successful. All right, so now this will be included in your budget request in a moment, though this is an action item separately, but we estimate this will cost about $7 million a year once this is fully implemented. What we're requesting from the legislature is just under $6 million, 5.99, and I was joking when we were meeting with legislative leaders, and 99 cents, but just under $6 million. And we estimate when all fully implemented, it'll be about 150 people involved across the state, including one regional coordinator spread across the state for every 10 advisors. In order to fill that gap between the 6 million and 7 million, we are looking within the resources that are coming to the commissioner's office to repurpose about $1 million of appropriation we've already received from the legislature that are related to college access that we could then put into this and make the legislative request just a little bit smaller. So that's that gives you an overview. I'll turn it back to you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. Do we have any questions? First of all, any members, particularly of the Academic Student Affairs Committees or the Strategic Communication Committee, that want to have any comments you'd like to make? Regent Tyre, anything you'd like to say about it?
Sure, and I'd like any of the other members of the committee to speak up too, but I think one thing, we had a really good discussion in our committee. We could have talked about it a lot longer than we allowed time for to do. We had a lot of questions and really appreciated Dr. Pershing and Nicole and their response to those things. I think one thing that kind of came out of that is that there are some things we need to work through. It's not, you know, there are some things we need to work with to just make sure that students are being helped in a way that gives them opportunities for all the institutions in the state to have those advisors focus in on what institution would be best for that student. I think we have to be real careful about how we do all that. And so I think the training for these advisors is going to be really important. We also had some discussion about the acceptance of these people into the high schools. And so I think there's things we need to do. I don't think we're ready at this point for full implementation for this program. And I think there was some discussion even about maybe considering some pilots as we go into it a little bit. I noticed you had the date on there as, you know, a couple years down. So I don't know if anybody else on the committee wants to talk about what we...
Regent Jones.
Thank you. As many of you know, As many of you know, I've served 14 years in the state legislature, and so with those duties, I have spent a lot of time in our schools and a lot of time with counselors in our high schools. And what we found and still find today is that they are grossly overworked. It is not uncommon to have one high school counselor for roughly 600 to 700 students. And most of them are spending their time in, you know, changing, you know, different kinds of calendars and so forth. But a lot of their time is spending on mental health issues. And so career guidance counseling has been grossly underutilized in their experience. And so every counselor that I have spoken to about this has said how wonderful this would be in helping augment the services that they're offering. I'm very, very excited about this. I can think of nothing else that would help the goals that we have as the Board of Regents and us achieve that than this. I think this will be greatly helpful. The other thing that I wanted to mention is I believe that this will create a pipeline for future counselors. You know, we have a large number of needs and few counselors that are actually trained to do this, and I think this will excite many of the students that are acting as counselors and going through this program to become career guidance counselors. I think that will be really important. And the fact that it's been proven by the University of Utah, our host today, says that it has a proven track record. And so I applaud the work that they have done and with the staff and the Board of Regents and the Commissioner's Office and their help in doing and putting this forward. I think it's a great, great thing, and I applaud it. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Regent Ortega.
When we're looking at access and affordability, I think Sarah and Franco and Nomani, you guys are prime examples of how this is a win-win, not only for students, but really for the college advisors. I thank you for addressing us today and letting us be aware of that. I think the college advisors is going to help a lot with access and affordability, especially when you put it in conjunction with the acceptance letters that are going to be sent out, because with that, we're going to see an influx with the acceptance letters, and of course, now with college advisors, we're going to see an influx of students through that as well, because as is mentioned in the information, a lot of these students don't think college is for them. They don't even know where to begin, so this is a great, great foundation for them to get linked with the university or institution that they would like to attend. President Watkins put it very eloquently and to the point. She said, access without completion is a very hollow promise. So I want to ensure, and I think we also need to focus our attention also with the influx of not only what we see as far as the demographics that we see with the population growth, but now we're going to see an influx with these students coming from college advisors, that all of our institutions are ready to accommodate all of these students, because it would defeat the entire purpose of college advisors if we didn't have the resources and the universities and institutions were prepared to handle this influx of students. So I just want to make sure we're strategically thinking about that aspect as well, and also maintaining, obviously, affordability for our students, because we are, I mean, obviously, a lot of these students are going to be first generation, low income. We have to maintain affordability for them. So I think that's something that, obviously, strategically, we need to look at in conjunction with access.
Thank you very much. Yes, Regent Larson.
Yes, so I also sit on the Strategic Communications Committee, and when this idea originally got brought up, I kind of sat back and I've been thinking a lot lately about all the things I didn't know 4.5 years ago when I graduated from high school. And I've been thinking a lot about everything from how to navigate applications to colleges, let alone what I wanted to study and what colleges might be able to assist me better than others in what I wanted to study. Also, when you apply for college, there's like an application fee, and most schools have fee waivers for students, but to navigate the fee waiver process is also actually more complicated than we would all like it to be or would think it would be. Then you've got financial aid, scholarships, programs that are recruiting students, first-year experience programs, you know, ambassador programs, ways for students to get involved on campus. That's a lot of things to navigate for a high school senior to figure out. And it is something that I would argue a lot of students all the way through their senior year don't even know how to figure out, even when they've gone through the college process. So with all of that being said, I think the need is definitely there. I mean, we've talked about it. We've heard from students that have used this. There is a need in the state of Utah for helping these high school juniors and seniors navigate what shouldn't be quite as complicated of a process as it is. So I just would like to echo my support in how much it really would benefit all students in every high school to have someone to be able to answer those questions, help them navigate the system that we all know could really benefit them, benefit us, benefit the state and the economy as well in the workforce.
Sure.
Thank you. Yes.
I just think there's one other thing that we probably should remember. is that we're calling them statewide college advisors, and so I think we need to also consider all students and the pathways we have now between our technical colleges and between our community, our junior colleges, community colleges, that we have, you know, that we need, as we present this to the legislature, that we make clear that these advisors are to advise students, each student on their own pathway.
That was something we discussed with the legislative leadership and made very clear. This is for
right, but I think we didn't really talk about that today so much, but that's something that we really should.
Yes. Sure. Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, that fit is so important, and I think that's part of this discussion in how everyone wins, that every institution is going to benefit, and the idea that they would have regional supervisors over those advisors that would help put those students into the correct fit, and wherever that may be. So I think that's critical. The other piece is every UHIA meeting I sit in, I'm always so interested in this huge amount of FAFSA money that we leave on the table. I think it's over $30, $35 million as Utahns. And the opportunity to have students be able to access that money and have new money come into Utah, into our system, is really critical in helping them be successful. And then the other piece is just the accessibility. I live in rural Utah, and all of us are around so many folks who are underserved, and to have someone there on the front lines helping a student be successful is why we're all here. And so I don't think I've ever been as excited as a regent as I am today to be part of this. So kudos to staff and everyone who's made this happen.
Yes, Regent Wright.
I would just like to echo those sentiments. It's a proud moment to be a member of this board. There's nothing more important than one individual. And if there's even just one person out there that doesn't know how to access the system, how to have the best possible life they could have by accessing higher education, it's one too many. And we know that there's many, many more. And so this is an exciting opportunity for the Board of Regents to lead, to have an opportunity to effectuate a change for a generation of children that will grow up and be able to help their children. And so we're really just changing the course of history here. I'm really proud of this initiative. I'm proud of everybody that's worked on it. It's never perfect when you start off. We all have our small concerns, but there's nothing that we can't address. There's nothing that we can't agilely and athletically fix as we move along to make it as perfect as it can be. So let's just move forward and know that we can improve it and make it the best it can be, and that we'll be changing people's lives, which is really, as Vice Chair Barnes said, what this is all about. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think in the interest of time, unless there are other pressing comments, we'll see if there's yes. Oh, a motion to accept the commissioner's recommendations here. Okay.
I'll second it.
We have a second from Vice Chair Barnes. Any other discussion? Not all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very, very much. Great work. Okay, we'll go on to the next item, which is the 2020 operating budget request. I'll turn the time over to the commissioner.
Yes, so I'm going to do that one, I think, from my seat. Oh, I think that we missed the meeting schedule.
I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yep. I was missed something. Let's go back to the mission meeting schedule on tab Q. I'm sorry about that. There is one change, and that's in the 2019-20 calendar. And it's not with respect to the dates, but the September 12th and 13th, 2019 meeting, which is listed as being at Weber State University, I'm going to propose that that be held at Utah State University and switch with Utah State, which is listed for May 15th of 2020, which would be at Weber. So if you want to make that notation, we'll post that on the website, but the dates will remain the same. Any discussion about the calendar? Not could we have a motion to accept the proposed meeting dates? We've got a motion from Regent Wright. Is there a second?
Second.
Second from Regent Ortega. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you. Now we'll turn the time over to the commissioner for the budget.
Okay. Well, thank you. Before you, under tab R, is the proposed budget for the next fiscal year. And this also aligns with the priorities of the Board of Regents. and the strategic plan that you adopted and have updated over the last couple of years of affordable participation, timely completion, workforce and research, and student growth and capacity. And back in July, you gave me some direction to work with the president in developing this recommendation, and that is what I'm proposing to you today. We've been working with the president to recommend something that we would present to the governor and the legislature, and with their support, then that would mean that we would not need to shift to more reliance on student tuition. And so our process this year was very similar to last year, that we, based on the strategic priorities of the board, I asked each of the presidents to give me their budget recommendations. They submitted about $76 million in possible budget recommendations to meet the outline of the strategic plan. That needed to come in at about $58 million. So using a number of factors, I worked with the presidents and I have trimmed that back to meet the $58 million. So I looked at the institution's priorities, first of all, their share of student enrollment, the emerging institutional needs, the expenditures per resident student, the current tax fund and tuition funding mix, and student growth. So just so that you know, that there were a number of factors that we looked at in order to get this to the number that fit your strategic direction. And so you can see that these priorities, how they line up with your strategic priorities. And of course, within your packet, there's a lot of detail. I think there's over 50 pages of detail from the institutions outlining how they would spend the money for each of these categories. Totals about $58 million. That does not include compensation. We would ask the legislature to fund the compensation equitably with other state-funded employees. And in the footnote of the budget summary, you have the detail on that. We used a plug number. We don't know what that number will be that they'll do for state employees. And but so compensation and internal service fund increases not included in the $58 million. But outside of those areas, it would be a $58 million increase, which would be about 5.7% increase in tax funds, plus the compensation and internal service fund increases equitable with other state agencies. I guess I already covered that. We'll be bringing to you tuition recommendations after the legislative session, most likely in March, to set the tuition based on how everything turned out. And of course, then you'll have a decision to make then of what you choose to do on tuition. Let me just go into a little bit more detail on each of these. And like I said, there's much more detail in your packet. You can see in broader categories, and there's also, I think, a four-page summary that goes with the 50-plus pages of detail for access. Of course, we have the statewide college advising, which you just adopted. That initiative is included there. Growth in the region scholarship and institutional aid focused on underserved populations in most cases. Timely completion and expansion of competency-based and online programs, student analytics and real-time intervention, three-year bachelor's degree pilot at SUU, advising student success and mental health services is another big piece of the timely completion category. And then under workforce and research, to expand programs to meet regional and statewide needs of targeted professions as conveyed to us by industry, by the Governor's Office of Economic Development, by the data from the Department of Workforce Services, and in broad categories, this breaks down to nursing and other health professions, engineering, computer science, and other IT, plastics and composites technicians. Let's see, make sure I don't miss one. And then at student growth and capacity, we know we're in a growing state, and so there's a number of areas that will help have the capacity, as Regent Ortega mentioned, that is so important as we expect already more students to come, and we, you know, with as we are able to give them better advice in high school, then we think this will even expand further. But you can see the various areas that will help us to have the capacity to handle the more students that are coming to us, including high demand and growing majors programs, business and student services, IT and cybersecurity. The Regents had a presentation from Steve Hess on that not long ago, and replacing outdated instructional equipment. So that gives you kind of a breakdown by institution across those categories. Again, the detail is in your packet. And so, Mr. Chair, that's my recommendation.
Okay. Do we have any discussions about the budget recommendation? Comments? It's a very docile crowd today.
One amount already.
Okay. If not, could we have a motion to support the budget recommendation, the request as presented? We've got a motion from Regent Anderson, second from Regent Lund. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much. That's a lot of work, and we deeply appreciate all the time and effort that's gone into sorting out the budget request. Okay, we'll turn the time over to Regent Wilfred Clyde, and he's going to be assisted by Associate Commissioner Kimberly Henry and Assistant Commissioner Rich Ammon to talk about the capital projects prioritization and complete our work there. So, Regent Clyde.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, the capital, yesterday the Board of Regents met and had each of the institutions present state-funded building that they would like to see built on their campus. And we did a criteria voting based on 2 points for completion, 4 points for capacity, 2 points for affordability, and 2 points for our workforce. All the regents that were there yesterday gave a score to each of the projects, and we totaled those scores up and averaged them. And so if you see this new sheet that's just been passed out, it shows what the average of each of those on the criteria point column and what was scored at each of the schools. And then our committee met after that meeting and talked about the discretionary points. And we felt like at the time both Dixie and Weber State were tied at 82 points. Actually 90 points, I guess, if you look at the criteria points. And we felt like we ought to give the nod to Dixie State because their need analysis was like the number one need analysis of all the projects. And so we added one discretionary point there. So Dixie State ended up being the first. On Salt Lake Community College, we added 4 points because under the other funds, they had a proposal to us today that we passed on in our finance committee meeting, and that was to sell some of the acreage at the Jordan campus, which would raise $6 million that would be put into this project. And so they didn't get credit when we did the quantitative analysis, but we felt like that they ought to get credit for that because we have now passed on that. And so we added 4 points there. And then on SUU, we added 5 discretionary points because as we were looking at the needs analysis, we noticed that they were third on the list in needs analysis. And in looking at the past project that they had of the business building, they only requested $8 million and actually raised $13 million. They got no credit on this project for that, but if you look at the amount that's been spent on that campus over the last few years, it's very minimal compared to some of the other campuses. And because they were at the number 3 on the needs analysis, we felt like we ought to give them some discretionary points. So we added 5 discretionary points there. So you now see how the various schools are ranked, with Dixie State being at the top, Weber State project next, the UVU project next, SUU and Salt Lake Community College were tied with the UU, SNOW, and USU on the bottom. So anyhow, based on our discussion and what we've assessed there. I'd like to make a motion to approve the recommended Regent priority points and capital facilities prioritization for 2019-2020 as outlined in the handout to be communicated to the State Building Board, the Governor, and the State Legislature. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Regent Clyde, a lot of good work. Is there any other comments from any of the board with respect to the projects? If not, we have a motion. Is there a second? We've got a second from Regent Jensen. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you very much. The motion passes. All right. We'll now hear reports of the board committees, and we'll turn the time first over to Edith Meyer, if you're ready.
I got it. Thanks.
Thank you.
Our first action item was a revision of the recent Regent policy R401, and the main reason for a change in this policy was the addition of a new bachelor's called the Bachelor's of Applied Science that will now be addition to the Bachelor's of Arts and Bachelor of Science. This is a fairly new bachelor's, but other states are doing it, and we're going to follow suit. It's more flexible in the first 2 years and has an applied learning component dealing with workforce. The general education requirements will stay the same. But anyway, it's kind of exciting to have this new Bachelor's of Applied Science. So in our committee, we voted to approve, so I'd like to make a motion that we approve the revision. One other part of this that's changed is all the references to the PRC committee were taken out and changed to the, I'll have to look it up, the Academic and Student Affairs Committee that it is now. So that was another change. But the big change was for the Bachelor of Applied Science. So I'll make a motion to approve. I don't know if anybody has any questions about this revision.
Okay, we have a motion. Is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Got a second from Regent Ortega. Is there any questions or discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you.
Our second action item, actually, I think we just took care of it here. We voted to approve that statewide college advisor thing, too. So I don't think we have to do that because it's already done. And we just had three information items. The first two information items we have are reports that we get every year, and really appreciate the UCI office and what they do for this. Just to remind anybody who is interested in going to Expect the Great Conference for Students, that's coming up October 6th. Those of you who remember, that's Regent Davis's
Expect the Great.
It's what he does. And for those of who have gone, said it's a great thing. And this year, it's at Salt Lake Community College. We also heard an update on the annual conference for counselors. And I've been to that once or twice, and that is a great thing. But their attendance has tripled the last few years in that, so they have high school counselors that come. It's really a good thing, and they actually have to cap the limit for the size restriction, so that's a great thing. So we heard about those things, and then we also had a report from the University of Utah, Mary Parker, about their enrollment strategies that they're doing, and we saw the benefit of what's happened as we saw the increase in percentages of those that are completing at the University of Utah, and it was very interesting to hear all the things they're doing. It's not just you don't just pick one thing and go on it. There's a whole bunch of different things that they do, and so that was a very informative presentation that we had. So that completes my report.
Okay, thank you very much. Appreciate that. See, we'll turn the time to Regent Stoddard to give the Finance and Facilities Committee report.
Thank you, Chair Simmons. You are. We have two discussion items. To start with, Finance and Facilities Committee. These items are found in tab G and tab H for the board's review. For these items, we heard Dr. Henry, who gave a summary, as did others, addressing the committee's questions and concerns. Our first discussion item under tab G was tuition and student aid policy study, and you can feel confident that we had a healthy discussion regarding that. And from that, the Finance and Facilities Committee and others of the USHI staff have been working behind the scenes getting the board information, and this initiative is focused on getting us an idea on direction on tuition and fees and aid policy going forward. The committee received this report today, and we're asked to consider several questions regarding the current USHI tuition policy for the committee, and to consider as it expands the discussion regarding affordability and tuition aid policies. This will come before the committee as a whole in November. There'll be additional time to provide input and get additional support and help from USHI staff. So we appreciate all they've done and will do regarding this significant issue on tuition. The second, are there any questions?
Yes, reach mine.
I had to step out in the hall for just a media interview on what we did when we were doing the budget, and I just wanted to comment on tuition that I really applaud the committee for stepping up and taking a look at the tuition issue, especially the uniform, you know, rate adjustment across the board, and just the overall way that we're addressing tuition increases. I personally think it's long overdue, and I would love to be a part of it in any form or fashion that I can be. But I think it's time for us to take a hard look at it and to come up with a system that maybe makes a little bit more sense, that maybe is a little bit more transparent, and that maybe more people understand. So I just wanted to say thanks to the committee, and I'm all in, and it will make the tuition discussion in the spring a lot easier if we do that work now, because I know I have a lot of concerns, and I think there's a lot of other people that do, and I think it's time that we had that conversation. So applause to you and the committee for taking that up and getting ahead of the curve, ahead of the spring tuition discussion.
Thank you, Regent Wright. Appreciate that feedback. Other questions?
Yeah, any other questions about, I mean, I think it's fair to say that generally the concept will be to, what was discussed in the committee was eliminating the uniform tier one increase and really eliminating as well the concept of tier one and tier two and going to an individual institution by institution analysis of what the need is. And I think that'll also bring a little better accountability and as well as transparency to what we're doing. So,
thanks for that clarifying point, Chair Simms. We appreciate that. I'm confident that going forward, we'll try to do everything that we can to be sensitive to that. That is a significant issue, and try to address that appropriately to help not only the universities and colleges, but the students as well going forward.
Yes. I would just add one last thing. I don't know if they put this duct tape over here by me on purpose, but when I sat down and saw this, I thought, well, maybe that's a message, but I'll talk to the AV guys about it afterwards.
That was from yesterday.
You need a lot, but you won't need that much, just for the record. I'm just glad we're having this conversation to reiterate it, because I can just speak for me personally. I'm very uncomfortable with the rapid rise of tuition, and I'm uncomfortable with the way that it's been done. When I was a trustee at Dixie State University, I was one that voted against tuition increases before, and I think we should change the culture of tuition and the discussion to being sure that we understand why it's being raised before it is, and not asking what it was used for after. And I think that's one of the conversations. And so I really applaud it, and I want to have a more transparent, thorough dialogue. And Chair, I really appreciate that the committee's doing it, and I fully support it.
Thank you. Yes, Regent Larson.
And this isn't, my comment isn't for my current situation as the student regent, but for future student regents. Any conversations or committees that have the conversation surrounding tuition, I think it's incredibly important that the student regent automatically sits on those, mainly because the student regent is paying tuition. They are paying, you know, tuition to institutions. They know what that tuition looks like for them, and I think it's really important to have the student perspective in those committee conversations, just to make sure that it's grounded in who is footing the bill. And so I would just argue that as those conversations move forward and as committees kind of, you know, as that that topic moves, that the student regents that's on those committees.
We certainly agree. Running a little ahead of schedule, which is nice. Back in 1976, I was involved in student government here at the University of Utah and was involved in the change in the law which actually established a student regent, and it was all about a voice into the tuition process. And Tim Zoff, who was the first student regent, now lives in Milwaukee, a very successful fellow. He spent most of his academic year up at the legislature, I think, talking to legislators about tuition.
Somehow still graduating, right?
Yeah, somehow still graduating. So I think it really is a critical thing that we have student input, and that the hearings that we have on campuses, that we really need to be communicating why tuition increases are needed and if they're needed, et cetera. We're here to serve, at the end of the day, to serve students, and so we appreciate that. Okay.
Can see from just this quick discussion that how passionate people are about this important part of higher ed, so we appreciate those comments and thank you. Under tab H, adoption of policy R-572, a non-capital asset inventory and tracking. In the July legislative, the legislative general auditor released its audit called a performance audit of inventory and security controls at institutions of higher education. This particular report found that 7 of 8 institutions in UCHI were not consistently tagging or tracking their highly pilferable non-capital assets, despite many institutions' policies requiring it. As a recommendation of this audit, the legislature has asked the board to develop a stronger board guidance in this area for board policy. And in that, the staff shared additional proposed policy for the board review and addressed questions of the committee. And again, that we are hoping to provide additional information between now and November and deal with that in our November meeting with additional information. Are there questions or concerns about that? Additional discussion?
Okay, thank you very much.
We have 4 action items also.
Let's see. there we are. I'm sorry. Yes, we do. Would you like to go through those?
Please.
Briefly?
Thank you. Yeah. Under tab I, Southern Utah University, request to repurpose the current institutional residence into a Sorenson Legacy Foundation Child and Family Development Center and designate the recently acquired residence at 11 North and 200 West in Cedar City as the institutional residence as allowed under Regent Policy R-207. I move that we authorize Southern Utah University to repurpose the current institutional residence into the Sorenson Legacy Foundation Child and Family Development Center and to designate the property at 11 North 200 West in Cedar City as the institutional residence for the president.
Okay, any questions about that or discussion? If not, we have a motion. Is there a second? We've got a second from Regent Anderson. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you.
Okay. Under tab J, Utah Valley University property acquisition, Utah Valley requests approval to purchase approximately 60 acres of commercial industrial land adjacent to Utah Valley, Utah University owned property at 1200 North Mill Road in Vineyard, Utah for $12,900,000. The appraised value is $13 million, and they'll be using institutional funds. With that, I move to authorize Utah Valley to acquire the property as indicated on 1200 North Mill Road in Vineyard.
Okay, any questions or discussion? Seeing none, do we have a second?
Second.
Second from Vice Chair Barnes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes.
Under tab K, Salt Lake Community College is disposing of some property. Currently, Salt Lake Community College has 38.3 acres of undeveloped property at the Jordan campus, and that acreage appraises for $6 million. It is being acquired for $6 million, appraises for $5,840,000. The proceeds will be used towards the construction of the Harriman Campus project. I move to authorize Salt Lake to sell the property on the Jordan campus as proposed.
Thank you very much. Is there any discussion or questions about that proposal? Being none, is there a second? Got a second by Regent Jensen. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes.
And the last action item under tab L, UC's revision of policy R571 on procurement. Recent changes to the state's procurement code require additional revisions to R571 since it was last updated January 2017. And the proposed change will align with the Regent policy with statute and continue to provide procurement governance and guidance for system of higher education. And I move to approve the changes to policy R571 effective immediately and authorize the Commissioner's Office to file the administrative rule.
Thank you very much. Is there any discussion? Being none, is there a second?
Second.
Got a second, Regent Clyde. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you very much.
And lastly, I'd say under tab M, tab N, and tab O, there's some additional information. I'm confident that it's in your binder, and I'm sure you've all reviewed it. And with that, then
thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate the report. Thank you very much for all of your participation today. We have we hope that most of you will be able to join us down in Kingsbury Hall for the inauguration of President Watkins. That will begin promptly at 3 o'clock. Yes, you have an announcement.
For regents and presidents, there were tickets at the table earlier. If you did not pick up your ticket and you need one, Lorraine has it. So see Lorraine. Or an extra for a spouse, yes.
And parking. Commissioner,
it's an easy walk. I don't think there's reserved parking for us down there.
Now we have enough time. It's a beautiful day for a little bit of a walk, but it's kind of a 10-minute walk down.
Okay. 7-minute walk.
Oh, you put it on.
Seven-minute walk. Yeah. Is there any other business to come before the board today? If not, motion to adjourn would be in order.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
All right. Is there a second? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Thank you very much.